everybody, to another episode of Live Like an Athlete. I'm your host, Erin Ciarone, joined in studio by Big Herc. He's back.
Yes. I missed you all last week.
Don't lie, Herc.
I did. Deep down in my heart, I missed you all.
No, you didn't. I don't even know what you were doing. Well, we missed you.
Thank you.
We had a concussion discussion with the brain doc, which would have been great to have you here for, because I'm sure you've hit your head a few times.
I'm pretty good. When I go snowboarding, I wear my helmet. I've never been snowboarding before. So, you know.
Yeah, well, you're from Florida, right?
I'm originally from Connecticut, but I've lived in Florida my whole life pretty much. So.
There you go. So you somewhat have an excuse.
Exactly. Just go swim with the sharks.
Right, yeah. Just don't hit your head on any sharks.
Or there we go.
You'll be totally fine. But seriously, happy to have you back, especially since today I'm a bit under the weather. That's my disclosure to everybody listening. So if I cough in your ear, I'm really sorry.
Listen, this woman's a trooper, right? She came through stormy weather just so she could get here and do this podcast. So.
That's right. And then I proceeded to infect poor Herc in the podcast studio by coughing up a lung before we started.
We're recording in a closed area, so next week I will be sick. So.
Yes, but our guest today actually might have some pointers on how we can achieve optimal health, even though I'm usually quite healthy. I blame it on the airplane. I was in L.A. this past weekend, and I blame it on airplanes or incubators. Disgusting.
See, you're on the East Coast, you're healthy. You go to the West Coast, you get sick.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah, so wait, we're blaming it on L.A. or the airplane?
I'm going to go West Coast. I'm an East Coast guy, so.
Some people call it the best coast. I don't know. Before we get started, just a disclaimer. In addition to my sickness, which I promise shall not infect you via osmosis through the podcast, I want to remind everyone listening that in no way should this be considered medical advice, a substitute for a professional opinion, etc. This is for your personal entertainment and edification only. Please advise your physician before beginning any exercise program or making any changes to your diet.
All right.
You got to read that one the next time.
Absolutely. I should have done it this time so you save your...
My voice?
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay. Thanks for bailing me out. Yeah. All right. So that brings us to... Let's get to the theme so we can get to our guest who's patiently waiting on the line. He's awesome. Everyone's going to love him. So I figured NBA, NHL playoffs underway, right? What better to talk about than fuel for performance? Because you're playing super high level. Things are really intense. More people are watching. If you've gotten there, ostensibly you've had a long season with a lot of grinding. Well, if you're in the NHL, in the NBA, that's debatable, depending on what team you play for, who you're talking to. But kidding aside...
You just want to make a Knicks joke so bad, don't you? I mean, I could just see it in your face, so...
You know, I don't even want to talk about the Knicks. I have absolutely nothing to say.
She doesn't want to talk about the Knicks, everybody. Let's move on.
Yeah, in case you haven't deduced, I'm from New York. There's nothing really to say. As Matt Moore, my buddy Matt Moore, would say, why do the Knicks nick so hard?
That's great.
Speaking of which, so, look, you're an athlete. You reach the playoffs. Your goal is to keep inflammation down, right? On our podcasts in the past, we've talked to scientists and doctors who've talked about the fact that inflammation is at the source of all disease. It comes from a number of things, sugar, high cortisol, all sorts of stuff. But look, bottom line is that if you've got inflammation in your body, whether it's through your diet or through a season of playing without rest, you're really prone to injury and your play is not going to be at its peak level. And if you're in the playoffs and you're going for the championship, that's what you need. So it seemed like a good time to talk about what the scientific community currently has tapped as the best diet for reducing inflammation, among many other benefits, which is the primal/paleo diet. People use primal and paleo interchangeably, and we're going to refer to it as primal for the purposes of this podcast, but it might be titled paleo for SEO purposes, just because people confuse the two. Our guest is going to talk about that, though. Our theme is primal 101, the basics. And I'm really excited to bring on our guest today. He's written a book on this exact subject. He runs a great website devoted to it called the Primal Power Method. His name is Gary Collins. Welcome, Gary.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Gary, you have a very unique background, unlike any other. Guys, this man comes from a military intelligence background. He is our first military intelligence guest, actually former. He's a former FDA special agent who has seen the horrors of the food and drug industry firsthand, and he is now a Primal Paleo author, teacher, speaker, and nutrition expert. He's the author of The Primal Power Method and the founder of PrimalPowerMethod.com. He's an author and a college professor. He's a consultant for high-level organized sports programs and gyms. In addition to his published articles and Primal Power Method series, his total lifestyle reboot, Factor X, the last health program you will ever need, blows the lid off conventional wellness expectations. He's a contributor to the Brink of Freedom online magazine and Paleo magazine. Very qualified, quite the resume, Gary. I've read your books. You've even interviewed me for Paleo magazine and your website. So let's jump right into it, man, because our listeners have questions. Herc has questions.
Well, I just want to say, you said, you know, the horrors of the, you know, food industry. I mean, my probably refrigerator and my pantry look like a horror, so Gary probably would be very upset if he saw it, so...
That's right. Well,
that's both people, so don't be worried.
The Herc Horror Show. Speaking of which, Gary, why don't you tell us really briefly how you came from the horrors of the food industry? And I know you can't, you know, given your former role, you can't really disclose specifics, but you can tell us how you too, like Herc, used to have horrors in your refrigerator in your 30s and no longer do. And so sort of for people looking to get into the paleo lifestyle, which is what this podcast is about, maybe they have a similar situation to what you had.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people do today in the United States. It's not just, you know, athletes or people who come from a health background. It's pretty much everyone today struggles. For me, you know, I grew up an athlete. I grew up in a small town where it was a ranching and small farming town. And we had, you know, grass-fed beef. We had whole unpasteurized milk. And, you know, I didn't drink any of it or eat any of it. I pretty much only ate Pop-Tarts, Fruit Loops. God, I can't even remember some of the horrible things.
Sounds like a diet. Except Herc eats them out of a helmet.
Yeah. It was, you know, and we didn't know any better. And as time went on, as you age, obviously this diet catches up to you more and more and more. And I had horrible allergies, asthma, eczema, you name it, headaches, chronic fatigue, swollen joints, chronic sinus infections. And, you know, I've never could quite figure it out. And obviously through my progression through the military, law enforcement, sports, you know, I was taught just like the rest of us, you know, if you want to fuel your body, it's low fat, high carbs. And that's what I did. You know, that's exactly the model I followed. And I could never figure out why I was always kind of puffy and never felt good. And, you know, and as I was doing my investigations, I actually kept running across naturopath websites, holistic practitioners, and I started reading some of their material as I was investigating because I had to. And then I'd order some of their stuff, download it, and all that good stuff. And I started to think, God, these guys are kind of onto something. You know, it was common sense. And as I got going, I read the first book I read was Weston A. Price, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And that's where it all kind of started. And from there, I started changing my diet. And
I was actually, you know, it was very interesting. I was on your site, and the first thing I saw was these like barbecue pulled pork, you know, in leaves, and it looked fantastic. And then I saw these, I guess it was zucchini snacks or whatever like that. And I was, you know, looking at some of the preparation, and, you know, it seems like a lot of them took like 60 minutes. And you were talking about, you know, growing up, we don't know all that a lot about, you know, eating right, and everything just seems so convenient. In the primal and the paleo diet, is it mostly it takes a while for these meals to be prepared, or are there quick things we can do?
Oh, no. I prescribe to the quick and easy method. Everything I teach is simplification. After being in the government for half my life, practically, I like to keep it basic and straightforward because, you know, the principle of KISS, keep it simple, stupid, was always, you know, always told in the military and the government, and it was always the complete opposite. Everything was convoluted, complicated. There was 15 forms for one form.
No, you don't say. And the government, really?
It was ridiculous. By the time I got out, I spent 75% of my time either doing paperwork or taking courses on sexual harassment. And I, you know, that's all I did. And so I said, if I ever do anything, I will never run it this way. It'll always be basic, straightforward. Those recipes look a little more complicated because, you know, with pulled pork, you got to put a little more effort into cooking it. But once it's done, you have multiple meals that take no time at all because it's already cooked and it's already there. The zucchini sticks are real quick. Those are really fast, actually.
In fact, the way that I met Gary on Twitter was through one of his recipes. I wasn't even following him, and he tweeted, I don't know how I found it, but he tweeted a photo of an egg baked inside half an avocado. And I was like, man, that looks really good. Wait,
absolutely.
Did you bake an avocado? Like, I tweeted back at him, like, what is this? And he told me how to do it. And then we followed each other, and that's how we ended up in contact. So, and that takes no time at all to make. So,
yeah. And I think that's part of the problem right now, too. And on some other interviews, people have heard me harp on, and people ask me, where should I begin? I tell them, well, don't start buying all the paleo cookbooks. First of all, they give you a lot of bad information. Second of all, some of the recipes are very complicated.
And I would agree with that in some cases. Let's back up and go to the beginning, just so that folks who really don't know what this is can sort of get a handle on it. Because Gary, what impressed me about your book and your method and your website was really that it's geared, at least your first publication, is geared towards people who don't really understand necessarily what this is, but want to get into it, want to know how to apply it to their lifestyle, and really you simplify it quite well in your book without burdening people with scientific information, excessive scientific information, which they can get from elsewhere. There's plenty of resources for that. It's a short, simple book. So sort of like how you start at the beginning with your book, maybe let's start by clarifying for people what exactly this primal/paleo is. And why it's important for your health.
Well, and primal and paleo are slightly different. Primal is about a lifestyle, so it's all-encompassing. So it's about diet. It's about, I just say, mind, body, soul. You know, so it's about your getting into the right mental state in order to change, being able to implement the healthy diet, and also to be able to get exercise.
Do I have to live in a forest, though? Like, do I got to go outside and paint my face off war paint?
You can, but it's not necessary. All it's right. Just more of it's an easy way of describing a holistic lifestyle, giving it a little different moniker. Paleo is specifically to a diet. The paleo diet has a strict protocol, and that's paleo pieces of the paleo diet are implemented into the primal lifestyle and the primal diet. The slight differences are paleo. The easiest way to understand paleo is no grains, no legumes, beans. No dairy. That's the easiest way to understand it. Primal says, well, not necessarily that. We say we build the principles around it, but we say whole fat organic dairy is okay on occasion. We're still against grains. We're still against beans, but we never say never. We never say you can never eat that ever again. But if you do, realize that it's going to have some negative health consequences. So I explain it a little bit differently. And I actually outline principles in the Primal Power Method to give people kind of a groundwork. Like you said, there's a lot of scientific-based writings on what primal and paleo is and what the benefits of the diet are, but no one ever outlines how to follow it. You know, they just give you the information, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, I got this information. Now what? So I put together five key principles, and the first one is knowledge is power. The second is avoid extremes. The third is keep it simple. The fourth is something is better than nothing. And five is take action today and every day.
Yeah.
So
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Gary. I think that's what makes it so successful is that it's not exclusive, it's inclusive, so that people don't feel so overwhelmed by it. Like Herc said, do I need to go run out into a forest and paint my face? Because people really legitimately have that misconception that this whole ancestral thing, or that you've got to live like a caveman. I don't really even know how that whole misnomer came to be. I mean, I know how it came
marketing,
to be.
Marketing.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. Yeah. That's sort of an idea that makes sense in some ways, but then it got completely misappropriated and misconstrued. But I wanted to point out, Gary, also just that one major difference, which was very important also for me when I undertook this diet change, and I'm now following the primal diet, is the difference in fat. the paleo diet traditionally, I say, because in the beginning, as it first began to get popularized, was high protein, no carb or low carb, and moderate to low fat. So it was lean proteins. And we've talked about this in our past podcast, for instance, with Dr. Kate Shanahan, about the importance of fat and how through another metabolic process, your body can actually shift protein into sugar. And so that is completely not helpful if you're trying to control insulin levels. So people eating all this high protein are not only creating an acidic state in their body, there's a process called gluconeogenesis, and so you end up with sugar byproducts from the protein amino acids, which is
inefficient. Go, Aaron, go. She's all fired up now.
But it's so exciting because then I started eating all this fat, and I'm like, this is fantastic. So I wanted to make that point, Gary, just in the beginning so that people understand that at the outset, because they do ask that. Like, we had a couple questions from listeners about carbs and stuff. I'm like, actually, you should be asking about fat because that's the more important thing.
Well, you know, and also on, you know, Gary's five steps there, number three to me is the most important. And she's been saying it since we started this podcast. Just to reference J-School. In J-School, it's the same way. It's keep it simple. And I see a lot of people write, and they want to – everything in their head they want to put down on paper. That's not the way to do it.
Right.
Just straight sentences. Once you start doing a lot more repetition, I think that's how these diets go too, as baby steps. You know, start small, and then when it gets, you know, easier and natural, then you can pick it up. And I think that's a great message Gary's sending.
And that's why I wrote I just finished the second book, actually, which is called The Organic Caveman. I just got the hard copies yesterday. It's up on Amazon, but that's another piece. That's what I do. I try and keep it in. I wrote it not for my peers and not for me. I wrote it to the person who needs it, the person who's struggling. And I put myself in their position because we've all been there. I've been there. And I said, if I had to start over 7-8 years ago, what would I want in a book to get started? How would I get that first step without completely being overwhelmed? And that's the whole principle behind how I wrote it. And understanding some principles, like Aaron said, like glucose. Genesis, I mean, whole rabbit hole over that. And, you know, it's two terms. It's converting fat into glucose or converting protein into glucose. It goes both ways. And understanding how those systems work in your body, you know, for fat, the primary thing is we're all scared of fat now. All of us. We're all told never eat fat. You're going to get fat. Well, we have body fat for a really important reason. It's for survival and it's for energy. That's our primary energy source is fat. But we've gotten twisted into this, well, I need glucose, I need sugar and carbs all the time to fuel myself. And that's completely incorrect. I even state in my book and some of my writings, you know, there's one macronutrient out of fat, protein, carbohydrates that you can live and thrive off with not ever consuming it. And that is carbohydrates.
Gary,
that
is I want to ask, where does, I guess, sugar fit into any of this, or it doesn't? I mean, you know, you talk about energy. Sugar can bring you down. Sugar can give you a high sometimes.
Well, sugar is highly addictive. Sugar has been, if it was properly classified, it would be actually classified as a drug the way it works in the body.
Same as cocaine. It's the same thing to your brain as cocaine.
Same. Yeah, the neurotransmitters that are released are the same as cocaine and heroin. And so you keep getting this, response of satisfaction every time you eat sugar because it's your body telling you, oh, that was great. Sure. And the thing is, we never turned that kind of metabolic pathway off for sugar because we were meant to desire it because we needed it, especially when we're young, for brain development, as breast milk has a lot of lactose in it, which is milk sugar. And that's why we're meant to want to be able to drink the breast milk in order to grow, but we never turn that off genetically because we never thought that, you know, who would have thought we'd be surrounded by sugar everywhere we went in nature? Sugar is incredibly rare. I mean, it's hard to find.
And even the fruits that we have now are, you know, have been bred over generations to be much higher in sugar content than they actually were in nature, which is, you know, and all of this sort of leads back to where this idea of living like a caveman came from, because people are saying, well, it's essentially saying, get back to living the way that things were before they became genetically modified and government subsidized and overly available to overly populated world, which has so many problems around the concept of excess that it would take 10 other podcasts to discuss it. But yeah, that wasn't how the human body was intended to live. That wasn't the environment that we're supposed to thrive in. We've created this contrived environment in a very short span of time relative to genetic development. And so now we see the fallout from that. While there are good things in terms of, like, well, people don't starve to death, you know, it's actually not lack of food. It's lack of access to food that causes starvation in the world, sure. Right? So that's a whole other discussion. But, yeah, the concept of sugar is really interesting. And, Gary, I guess we'll get to a listener question right now because it makes sense in the context of this in particular. And I know when I say what I'm doing with the diet, everyone asks this question. Genuinely, they're concerned. So Eric Hernandez says, is paleo a low-carb or a no-carb diet? I've always wondered since I've heard people don't count carbs while eating a paleo diet.
Technically, yes. It is supposed to. What has happened is the principles have gotten skewed over the last couple of years, and that's why I always warn people about the paleo cookbooks that seem to pop out every other day, is technically honey and maple syrup are paleo, of course, but and obviously fruit. But what they do is they tend to placate to their audience, and they tend to make a lot of recipes geared with these ingredients. And it's like, technically, yes, they're paleo, but again, we weren't meant to consume them every single day with every single meal. And so if you go back to the root of the paleo diet, it is a low carb diet. You have to be real careful when you start digging through these recipes about the sugar content in the form of honey and maple syrup.
Gary, you. Can you drink alcohol while doing either of these diets?
That's Herc's main concern.
Yeah, and this is a tricky issue, and I get asked that question all the time. And, you know, technically, is a potato paleo? No. But they've kind of moved their stance on it a little bit because of the starchy carb. What's vodka usually made out of? Supposed to be made out of is potatoes, but today it's made out of corn and all kinds of other stuff. But most of your alcohols are obviously made from grains. So any alcohol made from a grain, technically you should not consume on the paleo diet.
Interesting.
So,
I don't know.
Yeah, Well, and you know, I tell people, I'm not here to tell you to be a food monk and go live in a cave and throw your laptop in the ocean and, you know, don't drive a car anymore. It's about the 80-20 rule. It's about being rational and not avoiding extremes, one of my principles. And if you want to have, you know, a cocktail here and there, hey, it's not going to kill you. Have a couple beers at the game, again, not going to kill you.
Sure.
But if you do it every day and you implement this as a staple in your lifestyle, well, yeah, then of course it becomes a problem.
Sure. Or, you know, it can be a gateway, like a cascade reaction. Listen, some people literally, because we're all sugar addicts technically, but some people, it's like an alcoholic. Some people just cannot ever have certain things again, because if you let yourself have one, I don't know, cookie or one vodka tonic, then it ends up leading to 20, and then for the next 5 days you're eating all sorts of crap. Then you have to say to yourself, well, until I get myself under control psychologically or figure out what the metabolic triggers here are that are causing me to act this way, maybe I should completely abstain. Some people can have it once in a while and they're cool. So I think – and that probably changes over time. The body is constantly changing. So I think it's not like a – like Gary says, and that's why I really like his method, because it's not this black and white rigid thing. It just sort of makes sense. I mean, it's not lackadaisical.
No.
But it's like, listen, be smart. Listen to your body, and if you know that you get out of control when you have something, then you probably shouldn't have it. But if you do, well, then you got to live with the consequences, which is a lesser state of health.
Yeah.
And if that's cool with you, then go right ahead. I don't know. I mean, what else can you say? We're not like, we're not preaching to anybody.
Well, and over time, and I always tell people too, is everyone wants to jump in and get the magic pill and have the conversion happen in, you know, 30 days or, you know, 5 days or whatever. And I tell them, on average, it takes 12 to 18 months for you to go through the complete kind of transformation of where you're kind of comfortable, because that's how long it takes for you to withdraw from the sugar addiction.
Right.
they've proven this. It takes 12 to 18 months to be able to get away from the addiction of all the sugary foods you've eaten before. So if you tend to go cold turkey, you tend to have relapses, just like a drug addict. And that's why I kind of preach kind of, I guess it's the methadone of sugar concept. But it's, you know, you have to taper off it until you can get comfortable. And as your body changes, you'll start to reject these foods that you used to crave before. So if you go out and have that scone and, you know, then go home that night and have three beers, I guarantee the next day you're going to wish you did not do that. And it's not because you're going to feel guilty. It's because you're going to pay the consequences of putting those foods in your body.
Yes. And I think, in fact, that's the first iteration of the process. It's a first step. And then what goes on to happen, which is something I only recently started experiencing within the past like 2 months or so, is like you legitimately don't crave it anymore. And I'm telling you, man, that is saying a lot coming from someone who grew up eating very healthy, yet very high carb and very low fat and, you know, just a cascade of problems and issues. And I never in my life thought that I would like sit there and literally be able to watch other people eat, you know, bread or carbs at dinner or whatever, eat dessert and like literally not want it. I swear to God, just not want it. If you had told me I would say that and really mean it and not just be having like through the course of willpower, I would have told you to shut up and go fly a kite.
You know, I'm going to sit at your desk one day and just eat a big old burger and see.
Well, I eat burgers, just with the bun.
All right, there you go.
You know?
Put the lettuce, have a lettuce burger.
Yeah. I eat all the bacon and the guac and
mayo,
all that stuff. But
And if you had that burger every once in a while, it's not going to kill you. Some people have such a severe reaction to the gluten, even the gluten.
I do, yeah.
They can't touch it. I can eat a burger and I'm fine with the bun, but if I do it the next day, and then I do it the next day, then it's going to catch up to me.
Sure.
It's just different for everyone.
Yeah, and there's different schools of thought too. I mean, there are some, you know, some folks who are scientists and have legitimate research showing that you do not need carbs whatsoever at all, and your body can function completely without them, which is true, and therefore they advocate a constant state of, you know, nutritional ketosis.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, listen, it's for some people, it may not be for other people, it could depend on your health condition, but what I think is really sound advice in your case, the case that you make, Gary, is this whole not going to extremes, at least initially. I would say, for instance, I'm at a pretty strong extreme in my own situation now, but I've also been doing all this sort of stuff for quite a while in terms of at least manipulating my dietary inputs and my exercise and all that stuff. So I really appreciated that, because the very first time years ago that I tried to do this whole paleo approach, and granted I did it wrong because I followed this low fat doctrine, and if you're just eating, you know, you're already got blood sugar issues and you're already a sugar burner, and then you're going to go eat tons of steak and no fat, you're going to be miserable. And not only was I miserable, my body revolted against me. My illness got worse. My doctor was like, you got to stop this. Everything went haywire. And I was like, this paleo crap is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I hate it. And I went around beating this drum of like, don't listen to these paleo fools.
See,
you know?
You actually went and lived in the cave, though, and that was your problem, too.
In my New York City cave. No, but I mean, to Gary's point, like, if you're going to be extreme about it, you better be armed with some pretty damn good information. And, you know, it's very hard to do that unless you're aligned with, like, a top scientist or doctor in the field. And so what I like about what he says is, like, for instance, we can touch on intermittent fasting really quickly, because it's something we haven't talked about yet on this podcast, and that's part of the whole paleo primal movement. And it's very popular now, and lots of trainers are recommending it, and lots of bloggers who have no clue at what they're doing are recommending it. And I'm like, this is crazy. If you're not in a state where you should be doing, most people should not just jump into intermittent fasting. It has its benefits and its place, but most people need to ease into it. I tried jumping into it and I thought I was going to die. Literally. So Gary, I know you're very passionate about this. You wrote a great blog post on it, so I'll let you talk.
Well, yeah. And that's why I wrote it, is the intermittent fasting kind of craze had taken over, and I use it as a tool. I use it myself. And what people do is they look at it as a quick fix. And that's why most personal trainers who have no background in nutrition whatsoever, and they barely even know how to work out, you know, they start to push this because they know they can get quick results and their clients will get quick results. But all you're basically doing with an intermittent fasting is you're just pushing the body into a ketogenic state, and you're forcing it. I mean, you're making it happen quickly. But with that, if you're a beginner, you're a pure sugar burner. So you can't access those fat stores at all, hardly, if any. And when you go into intermittent fasting, which is basically going on a prolonged period, anywhere from 8 to 16 hours, there's all kinds of different facets to it, of not consuming any food. You basically only consume liquids or very little food. You may have a handful of almonds or whatever. And the whole point is to push you into a ketogenic state or ketosis. Well, if you can't access that fat, well, now you're going to have a ton of problems, because now you have no energy, because now your sugar crashes. Now you've gone into a really low sugar crash. Your hunger takes off, and there's no way for you to be able to do it correctly. So what do? You gorge yourself. I've watched it time and time again. People who haven't taken the proper steps to get their body functioning properly and be able to use and metabolize fat as energy, when they try to do the intermittent fasting, it is a train wreck, absolute train wreck.
Even if you don't gorge yourself, Gary, let's say you have crazy willpower, what you're actually doing in most cases is catabolizing, consuming your own body's lean muscle mass, because the body doesn't know yet how to draw from the fat. So it says, well, I got no sugar. I ran out of fuel. I need energy. Where can I get this energy quickly? Well, sometimes I store sugar in my muscle, and the muscle's available, so I'm just going to take it from there. So you end up not even burning your own fat, being completely inefficient, creating inflammation, and being hungry, right?
Well, yeah, and that's where your body's going to go. And that's why any sugar burner, and this is in general, without them even going into intermittent fasting or using it, is that when their sugar levels drop, the first place their body goes to get that sugar is their lean muscle mass. That's where it goes, because it knows that it can convert that protein into sugar, into glucose. So that's why you'll see a lot of people who eat a very high carbohydrate diet have very low muscle mass, because their body's just catabolizing itself all the time. Whenever they don't have that sugar, they're done. And that's why I teach also eating six meals a day for people in the beginning, even though that's big no-no in the paleo primal world, and you just eat when you're hungry. But I do that to stabilize blood sugar. Even if you're eating the proper diet, these people don't have the ability to fuel their body properly. So I have to keep them eating small meals throughout the day to keep their blood sugar stable, because it's so used to being a roller coaster and going up and down all throughout the day. The six meal technique in the beginning is to kind of just, like I said, level their blood sugar out.
It's literally like dealing with a junkie. I mean, literally, you're addicted to the sugar. Seriously. And the body is craving the sugar, like it would be craving crack or heroin or whatever. And when it can't get it, it goes, well, what's the next best thing? Yeah. It's like the junkies that go, like, get, I don't know, what they like, buy stuff at the drugstore and start using that because they can't get the real street stuff. And so it's like the next best thing. It's the same thing. It's your body's like, well, I can't get the sugar input, so I better take my own muscle mass. It's horrible. I mean,
it is. I'll tell you what, soda, I drink a lot of it, and, you know, I gave up, I mean, but I still have to have one every once a week. I mean, my body just, like, has that trigger. It's like, you know, I need it. I need to keep, you know, feeding the monkey or whatever like that.
You're
in a
low-level state of addiction.
I know, right.
But actually, that's a good segue, because if this is really about sort of Paleo Primal 101, how people can get started. So, Gary, Herc's your guinea pig. He's like a good example. So if someone like Herc wanted to start living this lifestyle, like, what steps would you tell him to follow?
To be honest, the first one I tell everyone is to get in the proper mental state for change. I start there every time, because if your brain and your mind's not in it, you're going to fail. I mean, 99.9% chance you're just going to fail.
Absolutely.
If you're not motivation. Yeah. Yeah, if you're ready, you have to be ready. And I always tell people, don't do it for someone else. You need to do it for you. And that's an AA thing, or Alcoholics Anonymous. That's one of the things they teach, is you're not doing this for other people. You have to do it for yourself. Kind of weird, an addiction. So I use that principle. And then I always say, start with sugar. That's the first place you need to start. Look at everything, start reading your labels, start seeing the sugar content, and start slowly drawing it out. So if you have a cup of coffee every day, or a cup of tea, whatever, a couple Cokes, try and figure out how you can start reducing it and tapering it without you going into this crazy crash and mood swing and pee and get in the shakes, because you will. If you try and cut sugar out right away, you're going to have withdrawals just like a drug addict. It's exactly the same. So you just look at what you're drinking. So if you put 2 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee every day, well, guess what? Start putting 1 in. And as you do this throughout the day and you start doing this through different foods and start reading the labels and start moving things around, you'll notice that in a couple weeks, you've cut half the sugar out. Half. And you really don't even notice it because you're tapering it. And that's where I always tell people to start. That's the easiest because that's the thing we consume the most is sugar. And from there, you know, you just keep progressing until you get to about a quarter of your sugar consumption. And then you start looking at what you're eating and go, okay, now I need to tweak the food and figure it out. And that's when you start integrating the more healthy fats in the form of coconut oil, avocados, olive oil, palm oil, and eating healthier foods. And then you start to dissect your diet. And that's why I have a shopping list and I have a food pyramid in my book to make it simple. So you know what foods you're supposed to be buying. But that's the easiest way for me that I've found with clients is just to start with the mindset and sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone who follows me on Twitter knows I think that sugar is the source of all evil.
But and then you put me second, so, you know.
Not true, not true. Another thing I would add to that also is to get your blood checked. You know, we had a podcast 2 episodes ago where we featured the guys from Inside Tracker, which is this really cool analytical online tool where you basically have control to monitor your own blood test results. And what I think is important about that in the context of this, especially if you make any sort of change, is that a lot of people don't realize that vitamin and mineral deficiencies can contribute to cravings. So if you're deficient in magnesium, you may be craving lots of chocolate. You know, sure. I mean, there's so many – I won't even go into them all now, but there's so – many different reasons that we can be craving things that are suboptimal for our bodies, because the body is constantly trying to achieve this state of balance and homeostasis. So if it's out of balance, it's going to ask for something that's going to help to at least bring its symptoms of being imbalanced down, right? So I think that that's something that people forget about too, is correcting something as simple as, like, I remember when I added magnesium and selenium and all of a sudden my, like, I have these insane chocolate cravings, and a lot of women are deficient in magnesium and a lot of women crave chocolate. And that's part of the issue. Why? So.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little different in that aspect. I take the attitude of if you correct your diet and you get it in check, everything kind of falls into place. And then if it doesn't, then you start targeting. When it comes to analyzing blood, I'm a little torn on that because your blood panels can change so drastically, so quickly, depending on the day, depending on the hour, depending on multiple factors, that gets a little tricky. For most people, I tell them when you reduce the sugar, because it is the evil of all, sugar blocks actually the absorption and utilization of all the major trace minerals and a lot of vitamins. So once you start cutting the sugar out, you should automatically start coming back into homeostasis and actually not be deficient in those.
I love that somebody else goes against Aaron, you know, get her all fired up, you know.
Well, no, just for me, I noticed that if you and Aaron's takes a more technical approach, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. There, like I said, different strokes for different folks. We all do it a little differently. But for me, I've noticed that if I start getting into blood work and telling them that they need to do certain things like that, they start to freak out. And if I kind of tell them and explain them to them that if you change your diet, you change your exercise patterns, you start thinking more positively, all this stuff should work out. Should. It doesn't work every time and it doesn't work for everyone. Because some people truly have deficiencies that diet, exercise are not gonna fix. Period.
Yeah, and I've experienced that personally.
Yeah.
You know, people do – there are actually quite a few genetic mutations because of all the GMO crap that we're consuming, which you know all about from your former role. And I know you're even working on a book about that. But that aside, which is a topic of another discussion, and there's even discussion about the fact that you can change your gene expression within the course of a generation, in the course of a week. I think my position is still that I think it's useful as a – reference point in time. So yes, I agree with you that bloods change constantly. But for me, maybe because I'm like a nerd and I like to see that stuff, I get my blood tested, you know, more often just so I can literally see like what impact is what I'm doing having. And it's interesting to see over time how it's changed. Now, does everyone find that interesting? Maybe, probably not.
Well, I find it interesting that you're a blood junkie. I mean, you know.
I'm an information junkie. That's
Are you part vampire? Do I need to leave this room right now?
Watch out, Herb. I'm going to come get you at night. all the kidding aside, though, Gary, this has been really, really informative, and we could honestly go on for 2 hours, which we don't have, but I am sure that everyone listening has definitely gotten at least a taste of the paleo lifestyle, and I know that, just to bring it back full circle, lots of athletes have adopted this.
Yes.
Lots of strength and conditioning coaches for the different teams are utilizing this approach in some way, shape, or form, as we discussed with our second guest on the podcast, Dr. Kate Shanahan. So this is certainly very useful stuff, Gary. Before we sign off, I always ask our guest to give us 1 to 3 tips from their toolkit for our listeners. Just you know, basic practical things, either things they can buy, things they can do regarding this theme. So for people looking to jump into paleo,
mm-hmm.
what are your like 3 basic Gary's tips?
Oh God. The first one is to educate yourself. Don't jump in before you've kind of figured it out. At least get the groundwork done and kind of come up with a plan. It makes it a lot easier and you end up taking far less wrong turns if you do that. So don't be so, you know, fired up and ambitious and go after it. Remember, you spent decades screwing your body up, so you're not going to fix it overnight. So just get the knowledge and kind of figure it out and start to learn how to shop outside. The second would be learn how to shop outside of major grocery stores. Start there to find organic foods and better foods, but start venturing out into farmers markets, maybe join a CSA, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods. Start going into other stores that you're not familiar with and start familiarizing yourself with the different types of foods and healthy foods. And the third would be to try and figure out a realistic exercise program. I always start people off with just go for a walk for 30 to 45 minutes a day. That simple. And just see how you feel. I walk every day and, you know, I do it as a way of decompression and a way to walk my dog and to walk me. And if you follow those basic principles and just get started that way, that's the easiest way. And probably one more would be find a tribe or something, a group you trust. Find a method or philosophy in this paleo or primal world that you like and that you fit into, because we teach it a little bit differently. Everyone does. And you have to be comfortable with the person you're going to follow or the information you're going to follow. And you have to like the person. If you don't like the person you're getting your information from, well, that's going to make it harder to follow.
That's really, really sound advice. Thank you so much, Gary. That's awesome. Park, you got anything else?
No, but I mean, you know, keep posting stuff on the site, Gary, because I mean, I looked at it and I just wanted to dive right in. I mean, some of that stuff I was talking about, the pulled pork and look good and get me all excited.
Notice that Herc keeps going back to the pulled pork and all of this.
I mean, it was good. I was like, wow, it had avocados in it. I said I could do this. So
yeah, Gary.
Oh, it's tasty. It's good. And my YouTube page, Herc, I go there as well. I have a lot of how to videos on cooking meals.
Okay. Gary, tell us what your YouTube page is.
It's youtube.com/primalpowermethod. Real simple.
Awesome. And remember, everybody, you can check out more of Gary's work on his website, www.primalpowermethod.com. He's got a new book coming out, which he mentioned. He has his existing book. You can get all that on Amazon as well as on his website. He's got a ton of great information on his blog, really cool links on, you know, things to buy, supplements and food items and cooking stuff and pulled pork, just like Herc mentioned, and zucchini sticks and eggs and an avocado and really good stuff. You can also find him on Twitter, where he's really active. He's at Primal Method. I'm sure he'd be happy to answer any of your questions there. And as he said, on YouTube. Thank you to everybody for listening. Remember to drop us a line at likeanathlete@cbsi.com with questions for future shows. We will feature them. You can follow me on Twitter at Aaron Sharoni. You can follow Big Herc at CBS Herc, H-U-R-C. And please subscribe to our podcast on the iTunes Store. We will love you forever. Good luck. Paleo 101.